Who can tell if it's really true? How do you know? There's a real crisis brewing here. The Roman Renaissance papacy gets its funding from, a lot of it from Germany, based on a piety that is this late medieval anxiety about your souls in purgatory, the possibility of going to hell because you're not in a state of grace. And these pious Germans are not finding the Renaissance papacy very convincing spiritually. So let's think about this, this medieval piety, where you're concerned about the state of your soul after death. You're concerned that you're in a state of grace when you die, not a state of mortal sin. Right? If you've done some really terrible sin and haven't confessed it, your soul is in a state of mortal sin, and you go straight to hell. Right? You need to confess your sins, get in a state of grace, and then probably you'll go to purgatory, not heaven. You'll get punished, but at least you get a chance of getting to heaven. It might last a while, this punishment, but at least you get to go to heaven. And then you can get help from people. You can have your heirs say a mass for you. You pay for this mass and you get help after death. And there's other forms of help after death, like you can buy indulgences. We'll talk about that at great length. You get a piece of paper that says that someone you love gets freed from purgatory or gets some of their sentence knocked off. So there's this whole economy built on the anxiety that people have about the next life, a whole economy that is treated cynically by the folks at Rome. And these pious Germans are not happy. They're about to have a convulsion about it, and Luther will be at the very center of the convulsion. They're anxious. Their consciences are terrified of this judgment of God. And in this context, Luther's gospel is like a bombshell. Imagine you're one of these people, right? Worried about whether you're in a state of grace, worried about whether you can do something for your loved ones in purgatory, worried about whether your heirs will do something for you when you're in purgatory. And Luther's message is, look, you can have certainty about this. You can have certainty that God is gracious to you. How? Well, listen to God's word, for heaven's sakes. Believe his promise. Right? Instead of being up at the top of those stairs saying, well, who knows whether any of this stuff really works, you have God's own promise. Trust in God's own promise. Just believe that God isn't lying to you when he makes this promise, and you have what you need. You have God himself. Now, this is a spiritual thing which has enormous economic and political consequences. It means that you're no longer dependent on paying a bunch of clergy to say masses for you or buying indulgences or doing all this economic stuff which funds the papacy. Right? You no longer need to pay for that stuff. It's free. It's the gospel. It's just Jesus saying, this is my body. It's given for you. You believe that and it's true. It happens for you. And so what you have here in the Middle Ages is this particular tension. Think of it as German-Italian tension. The Germans are pious folks. They're concerned about their state after death. And they're anxious. And they want something that really works. And they're paying through the nose to get something that really works. And their money is being shipped off to Italy, where it's used in cynical fashion by Renaissance popes to fight wars and build magnificent churches like St. Peter's Cathedral and Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel. And these cynical Italian priests are dropping children like flies. Good grief. What's happening from the German perspective is that these Italians are wringing money out of the anxious, terrified consciences of pious people. And the pious people, beginning with Martin Luther, are about to say, enough, enough. We don't need this. All we need is Jesus Christ in the gospel. Once they hear that, an earthquake happens, and we call that earthquake the Reformation.